Starting to feel like I'm in a remake of the movie Groundhog Day. It's the same thing happening over and over. Trump threatens nations with new and increased tariffs. Americans believe that this is going to be great for America. Trump launches his tariffs. Those same Americans find out that tariffs mean higher costs for not just what they want, but need to buy. Then the whole thing, right, repeats itself. This past Wednesday, after the stock market closed, by the way, Trump announced 25% tariffs on foreign-made vehicles. His stated reason for this is to boost the American auto industry. Nice idea, but can Americans afford the cost of something that'll take years to accomplish? Not going to happen overnight. With us now to discuss this latest round of Trump tariffs is senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. Thanks for being here today, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
And learn more about this issue, the other issues that the Competitive Enterprise Institute takes a look at. It is CEI.org. So just as a foundation for the listener, Ryan, what are these tariffs going to be applied to when they are launched this coming April 2nd, just a few days from now?
They're going to be 25% tariffs on all foreign-made parts of cars. So what that means in practice is that if your family is in the market for a new car, while some of the details are still being worked out, you will likely pay between $3,000 and $10,000 more for an average priced car. We're not talking Mercedes's here, we're talking Chevys, Hondas, that sort of car. That's a pretty big expense.
Yeah, I mean, a vehicle of any size is not an impulse buy. People plot and plan. I mean, I used to have an uncle that every couple of years, just like clockwork, but then again, that's part of planning. He would have a new car. And to look at your budget and realize, wait a minute, there's $8,000, let's just pick a number out of the range you gave, I didn't plan on spending, well, then I'm not spending anything. This, I mean, give an idea how wide of a range of an impact this is going to be, because it's not just simply falsely believing that the country of origin for these parts and these vehicles are going to be the recipients of the tariffs, because that's not exactly how it works, is it?
No. I mean, suppose you're one of those families that's priced out of getting a new car, but your current car is still breaking down. Well, you're going to turn to the used market. The problem with that is that the supply of used cars is what it is. So when you have more people crowding into the same market, used car prices are going to go up too. So either way, you end up paying more. And then if you do decide to take the plunge on a new car and you're out $3,000 or $5,000, that's money that you can't spend on the kids' college fund or on some home improvement project or on anything else throughout the economy. And even if it's just a little bit here, a little bit there, a restaurant gets a little bit less business and has to let a server go, all these things repeat themselves throughout the economy, you can have thousands and thousands of lost jobs and lost opportunities, especially for small businesses, that have nothing to do with the tariffs or anything to do with automotive supply chains. A lot of innocent bystanders stand to get hurt because of these tariffs.
Now, does the executive order specifically define what constitutes a foreign-made vehicle, or is that still a work in progress? Because I know there's some trade agreements and things that involve auto parts and importing them that, you know, so familiar with what Trump does versus how poorly he plans. Is this another example of this hasn't been fully thought through yet and could be a lot more worse stuff to come?
It's barely been thought through at all. The executive order relies on an old statute from the 1960s that requires the president to state some kind of national security problem in order to invoke these tariffs. And I don't know about you, but I do not consider Canada, Mexico, Japan, or Europe, all allies, to be national security threats. And yet that is what Trump is invoking for these tariffs. And as far as determining what car parts are what percent foreign-made versus what percent domestically made, the administration has admitted we don't know the answer to that. We're going to have to make it up as we go along, and that process will take months. It might even take years. So when I gave you that range of $3,000 to $10,000, that's a threefold range, which is really just a fancy way of saying we don't know.
And by the way, that list of countries you gave, I think after what the prime minister said this past week, too, you have to take Canada off the list of our allies. They don't seem like they see us as playing well with one another, do they?
No, and they're right. Right now, we're not on the level with them. And This is out of the blue. 2-3 months ago, this was not an issue, and all of a sudden, one of our closest allies is quickly becoming a rival. It doesn't have to be that way, and it's not even gaining the U.S. anything.
Ryan Young, who's a senior economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. It varies from fractional point to fractional point, depending on what study or survey you look at, but basically, 52% of vehicles sold in America are made in America, with obviously the remainder of that number being foreign produced. And as I referenced in the introduction, it's great to be a proponent for more jobs and a stronger, more profitable auto industry in America. And it's not going to happen overnight. Just to build a factory and to hire and staff and equip and train, as you said, we're talking years, not months or any sort of imagined rapid pace like Trump is trying to make this sound, at least.
Yeah, supply chains, and they're different for each automaker, were built up over decades of careful decisions and all kinds of other considerations, and now Trump gave them 1 week's notice to change that entirely. That's not going to happen. Even if you break ground on a factory today, it won't open for a couple of years. And in the meantime, consumers are going to pay through the nose for that. And if the goal is to create manufacturing jobs, that's not the way to do it, because not only do you take jobs away from other industries, but if you reshore a job to the U.S., they're probably going to automate as much as they can, which means fewer jobs, simply because U.S. labor is so expensive, it's really not worth the time to pay people $30 an hour to snap two things together.
You look at the wide-ranging impacts. I mean, you can look at dealerships, and you referenced used cars before. I'm thinking back to the economic turndown we saw back in 2008, 2009, and a similar thing happened, not through tariffs, but just through sheer economics, where people were not buying new cars because they didn't have confidence in the economy, which we're seeing that now with the stats that just came out. That number's dropping, consumer confidence. And used car dealers, they had very thin stock because if someone was going to buy a car, that's what they were going to buy. So I fear that we are going to see history repeat itself, where supply is going to certainly, sooner versus later, become a lot shorter than demand is going to be.
You're absolutely right. And that was the same time that the government had a cash for clunkers program,
right,
which thinned out the used market even more because they paid people to give up their used cars. And then the government then injected solutions into the engines to essentially scrap the cars and make them unusable. So people had to buy new cars. I worry that that might repeat itself if these tariffs work as badly as most people think they will.
Do we have to take into consideration, looking at wide range effects where people are looking? For example, you have these car warranty operations where you join up and they pick up the tab and you pay them whatever the yearly cost is. I don't want to mention any specific names. But if the cost of repairing a vehicle is going to go up because of tariffs on parts, then that's another expense. If I'm a subscriber or I'm a member of one of these warranty companies, I'm going to wind up paying more because, like any other business, they're going to pass the cost on to me.
Yeah, that is an excellent point. Everything about cars is going to get more expensive. The only thing being tariffed is new cars. But there will be spillover effects in the used market. There will be spillover markets in the insurance market. There will be spillover markets in the warranty market, like you just mentioned. This is going to hurt people. This is a tax increase that, depending on how things turn out, could end up costing people as much as $100 billion per year.
And when you look at last year's numbers, U.S. shoppers bought roughly 16 million vehicles, cars, SUVs, light trucks, half of which, as I referenced a few moments ago, were imported. I tend to think if we look 1 year from now, that number is going to be far below 16 million.
I would imagine so. And due to quirks in supply chains, it turns out that companies like Ford and GM will actually be harder hit by the tariffs than Hyundai from Korea or Honda from Japan, just because of how their factories and their supply chains are set up, at least as of today. And that's going to take a few years to change if these tariffs end up lasting. So even if Trump is aiming at a target, it doesn't mean that he's necessarily hitting that target.
And Trump's always, saying he wants to empower and expand the American car companies, but part of their business is exporting vehicles to foreign nations. And if those foreign nations are not exactly happy with us, I would tend to think the demand for imports from us to outside the America car dealers, that's a demand that's going to drop too, and thereby financially impact the American auto companies.
Yes, and the main reason why is something that Trump keeps forgetting. If you tariff someone, they will almost always retaliate. This has happened 6 times in a row with China. For example, we wanted them to make some certain reforms, so we put tariffs against them to do that. Didn't work, so we tried a round 2. That didn't work either. We're up to round 6 now, and we're only 2 months into the second Trump administration. These auto tariffs, Europe and Japan and Canada, they're all going to retaliate, and that's going to cut into U.S. exports as well, like you just said. This is just a lose-lose proposition, and I hope before the tariffs phase in, President Trump thinks better of it and draws back the tariffs.
Well, as they say, to be continued, with the caveat, too, because Trump has mentioned his next target is going to be pharmaceutical imports, which again brings us to the same problem. About 90% of pharmaceuticals in this nation are imported, and creating a domestic production level to match that, meet that, resolve that difference, it's not exactly going to be like lightning, is it not? Learn more about this issue with facts, truth, and reality to make what sounds great, well, that's just an appearance. The truth and reality, as we talked about here with Ryan, quite a different situation. Learn more at CEI.org. Senior economist for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ryan Young. Ryan, thanks for the reality you inject versus the political hot air that too many people want to blow into a situation like this, and help people understand why it matters to have a voice in this issue as well. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.